Our text today is Psalm 46, so can we turn there? Verses 1 through 11, it's the entire psalm, and can we all stand out of reverence for the word? Psalm 46, I'll be reading from the ESV. And this is what the Holy Spirit says to us this afternoon. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. God, we come to you, and many of us have fears. Some of our fears are big, some of them are small. But Lord, we have fears. So much of our life, Lord, is driven by fear, dictated by fear. And God, we pray that your word would speak into our lives and into our hearts. Lord, let us feed on your daily bread at this time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Many of you know just this past week there was another shooting. This time it wasn't a school. It was the headquarters at YouTube. And thankfully the shooter didn't get very far, and there were a few victims, but not a lot. And it does seem like we're at a point where it seems that every week there is some kind of shooting or violence. And it's regular news. It doesn't surprise us anymore. And violence is happening everywhere. It's not only schools, it's streets, it's malls, it's concert venues, it's churches. It's in the workplace, it's in theaters, and I could keep going on and on. It's kind of sad. It's happening here, it's happening abroad, it's happening in the city, and it's also happening in the suburbs. And a lot of us feel the escalating tension between different groups of people, between races, between the sexes, between conservatives and liberals, between the rich and the poor. And we're talking a lot about dialogue, but quite frankly, the dialogue is so toxic and combative. We can't even speak, or the groups can't even speak to one another. I'm one of those people in LA that likes taking the subway. And even on the subway, when I ride, I can feel the tension in the air. There's one time I was riding, and I thought something bad was going to happen, that a fight was going to break out. There's just so much tension going on, and a lot of us feel that. A lot of us feel that the world is a scarier place than it was before. And I think it is. I don't think that's an overstatement. We get screened and checked everywhere we go. Parenting is not like it was 20 years ago. Many of us parents today, we feel like we can't let our kids out of our sight, even for a moment. I mean, that's where it's gone. The world seems cruel and chaotic, unpredictable, dangerous. It seems like in many ways it's falling apart before our eyes. We often wonder what's going to happen next, or what might happen even to us. But it would be a mistake to think that we're the only generation to feel this way. The early church under ancient Rome felt this way. Christians later on felt this way. And here in this psalm, The psalmist feels this way. And we see that in verses 2 and 3 and into 6. He says, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and then into verse 6, the nations rage. The world around the psalmist, as he writes, seems to be headed towards disaster, that the world is a world of danger. Life is uneasy. And when we feel the world is in upheaval, what does that do to us? There's fear. There's a lot of fear, and fear is a very overwhelming feeling that can cripple us spiritually. Fear can paralyze us. You know, where we feel like we can't live. We can't do anything. We can't attempt anything. We can't go anywhere. More and more, I hear this, and maybe some of you have heard this before too, where you hear couples talk and they say, you know, I don't want to have kids. I don't want to bring them into a world like this. It's so scary. You know, fear can paralyze us. Fear also can turn us into control freaks. You know, when life is unpredictable, what do you want to do? You want to try to make it about as predictable as you can. So let's control every variable. Let's plan and let's research and let's strategize. And so we leave no stone unturned. We leave nothing to chance. Is there anything wrong with those things? Not necessarily. But for a lot of us, when we're in that control mode, we often forget about God. When we're in that control mode, we become very tired people because it's tiring trying to control everybody and everything. And when we're in that control mode, we also become unpleasant people, uptight people. And when anything threatens our sense of control, we panic, we're easily angered. Maybe that's some of you. Fear can also question God's goodness and protection. Because when it seems like the world is falling apart, we wonder where God is. Like, where is God when innocent people are being gunned down? Where is he? And we can even begin to accuse God, condemn God. And so the world's chaos, it can actually undo our faith. And there's a lot of people who, what hinders them actually from coming to the faith is seeing the chaos in the world. How can there be a good God when all this craziness is going on around us? And so fear has a way of crippling us spiritually, of undoing our faith in different ways. And for the psalmist, he does find something that actually speaks into his fears, and it's found in the opening verses to begin. He says, God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble, and therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way. And so, in facing our fears, there's hope and there's help. And the psalmist emphasizes the fact that it's a present help in trouble or times of trouble, and it's found in God. And he begins to elaborate more on that in verse 4. And so the psalmist, he sees perhaps the earth giving way, the world falling into disaster, and he says this in verse 4. There is a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And he talks about the city of God. And so he speaks about another place, the city of God, the kingdom of God. And the most wonderful and significant thing about it is that God is there, that he dwells there. It's his sacred home. I like how the New Living Translation words it. Not just holy habitation. This is God's sacred home. And because God is there, well, guess what? It's a place full of joy. It's a place that God protects. It is a fortress. It is unshakable. And so the city of God is a city of refuge. And so it's nothing like the chaos and cruelty of the world. It's a place of security and safety. Now, I want you guys to notice the present tense here. It is a kingdom in the here and now. He said, he says this, there is a river. Not there will be a river someday, but that there is a river. God is in the midst of her. And so the kingdom of God is not just this future reality that we have to wait for, but that it exists now. And actually, that's why it's so comforting. That's why it's a comforting truth, because it's present. It exists now. And that's driven home in verse 7, because he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. Now, when the psalmist says that, he's saying this. He's recognizing that though the earth gives way and the nations rage, even then he is presently in the midst of the kingdom of God. It is surrounding him. And what do we know about the kingdom of God or the city of God? God is there. He's like, God is with me, right? That's why he can say God is a refuge and a very present help in trouble. And he adds that as sure as the day will break, as morning dawns, so also God will come and God will help us. So we learn that we live in these two realities, these two worlds. There's this present evil age that is passing away that we reside in, but there's also the kingdom of God. And so we live in both, and we actually experience both. So on one end, we do experience the upheaval and the turmoil of the world, but we also experience the abiding presence of God, the joy of God, and the protection of God. And so we can face and deal with the chaos in the world knowing that we're also simultaneously in the midst of the kingdom of God. And that's a reality. We live in God's unshakable kingdom. Now, I almost never use multimedia in my sermon, but I'm going to try today. And I want to show you just different views in which people see the world and how it affects us. And so if we can go to slide number one here. Is it up there? Can we get up there? Is that clear to you guys? And so there's some people who see life like this. There really is just this world, right? There's just this world. This is the only thing that exists. This is the only reality. Now, what do you find in the world? And I put up different words there, but like rage, violence, chaos, turmoil, that's in the world. Now, if this is the only thing that you really think exists, the only reality, well, guess what? Your life is going to be about survival. It's every man for himself, because there's no help outside of you. You're stuck in this one reality, right? And it's scary. It's scary. And if this is your reality, then you're going to be prone to fear and worry all the time in your life. And it's not going to be above you to trample down or throw other people under the bus so that you can protect and preserve yourself. So when you understand that, if you believe that this is the only reality, that's how you're going to live. There's going to be a lot of fear and worry. There's nothing else that's going to come in to help you. Every man for himself. It's a dog-eat-dog world. It's all about survival. Another view that people have, let's go to the next slide. They do recognize the two worlds, but the two worlds don't really intersect. And so there's a line that divides the kingdom of God and the world. And in this worldview, God is distant. And God doesn't really get involved in the world. And the kingdom of God is not something that's now. It's something that's later. It's when you die. So it's future. It's not present. And so guess what? Help is going to be later. It's not going to be now. It's not going to be present. And so what you need to do is you just need to hold tight and endure suffering. Now, when you live in this kind of reality, you're the type of person who will say, I do believe in God and the kingdom of God, but you don't really pray. Because you don't really think that God kind of comes into the world or he intersects with this world and he deals with the nitty-gritty of your life. And so that's one of the signs that you live in this kind of worldview. And you'll find that though you believe in God, you're just as prone to fear and worry just like unbelievers. Because God's kingdom never comes and has a bearing in your life or the world. And you'll also find that you will trample on other people to protect yourself and preserve yourself. When you live in this kind of worldview, God is very irrelevant during the week on a Tuesday or a Thursday. God is non-existent during the week, except for when you come on Sunday. And so there's some of us who might live in this kind of reality. Now, the reality that the psalmist lives in is depicted in the next slide. Let's go there. And the psalmist recognized that there are two realities, there are two worlds, but you live in both. You really are in the kingdom of God now, and you also are in this world. So guess what? There is real suffering in your life because you're in the world, but there's also real comfort because you're in the kingdom of God. There is real chaos that you see and experience, but there's also real peace. That in one sense, you live in the city of Los Angeles and all that goes on in there, but you also live in the city of God. And both are real. And both exist. And we experience both realities. And so that's what the psalmist is doing. He's bringing to remembrance this reality. Yes, I'm in the world where it seems like where the nations are raging and the earth seems to be giving way. But guess what? There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, and I'm in there too. And you see, that is what helps him. And that's what we need to learn and practice. We're not just in the world, but we're also in the kingdom of God. We're in both realities. Now, if you look at it, do you notice the kingdom of God, that circle is bigger than the world? I did that on purpose. Because one thing that the psalmist is saying and teaching us is that the kingdom of God is far greater than the world. Bigger. Stronger. The psalmist says, God utters his voice and the earth melts. And the nations, though they rage, they're not even a threat to God's kingdom. God's power is so overwhelming that his mere voice will put the nations to destruction. God's kingdom is far greater than the kingdom of the world. And we see that throughout history. We see that as nations and kingdoms have lined up against God's people. You can even begin with Cain. Let's move on to the Egyptians and the Philistines and the Assyrians and the Babylonians. Ancient Rome. Militant Islam, communism in Russia, China, Japanese imperialism of the 20th century, and even now the secular West. And you see that God's people still stand, are still growing. God and his kingdom is still having a powerful effect. And we know the power and the reality that the kingdom has come upon us, the kingdom of God has come upon us through Jesus. Because he defeated the devil, the one who lies behind all those hostile nations, who rules over those hostile nations. Jesus defeated the devil at the cross and at the resurrection. And so even though I went through world history showing you the power of the kingdom of God, you see it most powerfully at the blood-stained cross and at the empty tomb. And that is the greatest testimony of the kingdom of God and its power. And what's really interesting is that Jesus says this in John 7:37. He says that whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What is Jesus talking about? He's saying this. You know that river that runs through the city of God, whose streams make God's people glad? He says that through Jesus, that comes upon you. And that through Jesus, you are in the midst of the city of God and the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus is trying to say there. And so through Jesus, we can say with great confidence and great faith, there is a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, and I live in it. And that is a reality. Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And as we get to the end of this chapter, really the application is this: be still and know that I am God. You know, I was tempted to do what one pastor did, where he read verse 10. He said, "Be still and know that I am God." And then he sat down for 30 minutes. And the congregation and him, they were in silence for 30 minutes. Can you imagine 30 minutes? And then he stands back up and he goes, "Amen, let's pray." I was so tempted to do that, but I didn't. I bet you it was hard for them, though. And guess what? Being still, it's hard. It is very hard. We're American. One thing we're absolutely terrible at is being still. You know, we're the tell me what to do culture. You know, we want freedom from fear in 5 easy steps, right? And our culture says this: don't just stand there, do something. But God says, be still. We need to recognize the difference. You know, American culture doesn't always translate so well in our spiritual lives. Our faith, it can't be treated like a business project or something, and yet sometimes that's what we do. And if you think about the idea of being still and knowing God, that whole idea, it has such gospel overtones. Because in our fear of being separated from God and death, God, through Christ, graciously did everything for us to save us. Jesus obeyed the law perfectly in our place. He paid the penalty for sin in our place. And all we had to do was to be still and believe in him. To rest in what he's done, to receive what he accomplished, and to trust in him. And that gospel, it shapes the way we live our lives too. And as we face all kinds of fears, as we face fears, we're to be still and to believe. That is to know that God is God. We need to rest in the fact that God is greater than this world. We need to rest in the fact that God is with us, that we are in the midst of the kingdom. We need to rest in the fact that God is a fortress and we can trust in him. You know, I think of the Israelites as they were leaving Egypt and they're on the shores of the Red Sea. They turn back and what do they see? The Egyptians with their military strength headed towards them. And it says that they feared greatly. They feared greatly. And they began to accuse Moses and God. Why have you brought us this far? So that we can die out here in the wilderness? And you see right there how fear can cause us to question God, to derail our faith. And so they begin to say all these things. And God speaks through Moses, and I love it. Moses says to the Israelites, "Behold, just watch. Watch God's salvation. God is going to fight for you. You only have to be silent. Just stand there. And so in the midst of like incredible fear, in the midst of possibly being slaughtered, God's instructions to them is stand firm, be still, be silent, watch what God's going to do. And that is how God is speaking to us today. This is how we deal with our fears. But he gets specific, doesn't he? I mean, he's not just saying, just calm down, just calm down. But remember the kingdom of God, that you are in the midst of it. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, and you're in it right now. Consider these very things. And so as I close here, let this psalm be our guide and to counsel us when we are dealing with fears. And that when fears come up, that we can slow down, that we can pause, that we can catch our breath. Because usually when fears and worries ramp up, life kind of speeds up. We get anxious. We want to plan. We want to make solutions. We want to do all kinds of things. We want to fix the problems to get rid of the fear. But let's try to deprogram ourselves, and instead of speeding up, to slow down, which is what God is calling us to do. To slow down, to pause. And for us to set time aside, to just stop our regular activities, to put down our devices, and to fill our minds with the things of God. And to give ourselves to God's word and to prayer so we can create that space for the reality of the kingdom of God to sink in and take effect. Brothers and sisters, this is not a call to passivity or inactivity. You know, trusting God, that is the most active thing that you can do. And it's hard, and it takes a whole lot of effort. But as we face fears, and as we look around the world and things seem to be falling apart or crumbling, always begin with the reality of the kingdom of God. And be still and rest in the fact that you're under God's protective kingship. And then and only then, move into action just as the Lord leads. But can we leave here with the great conviction that God is with us and that he is our fortress? The psalmist says it twice, so it would be just etched into our hearts and our minds. Brothers and sisters, God is with us. God is our fortress. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to know that even as we are in this world, that we are in your kingdom as well. Oh God, we pray for that reality to just come and sink in and take root, and give that we would believe this truth in such a way that it does transform us. It helps us face our fears. Oh Lord, there's so much brokenness and strife and violence going on in the world. And Lord, you call us even beyond just dealing with it, but ministering to all of those things. And we pray for that as well. But God, we pray that the fears that we deal with are, that we can deal with it in a godly manner and with faith and trust. God, so many of us have such a hard time to be still and to believe and to know that you are God. But Lord, today and into this week, may that ability grow more and more. And let us be surprised about how, when we do those very things, how you have a way of bringing your peace and your joy to us, even though our circumstances would tell us to have other feelings. God, thank you that we are in the midst of your kingdom. We're tasting it now, and we do long for the day when the kingdom of God would rule and reign fully and completely in heavenly glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.